Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There he is.
Rana, my dogs are barking.
I haven't seen hide nor hair of you since our official debrief after the show the other night.
Well, Rana, I left everything on the screen.
On the floor.
I did. Like J-Lo, Super Bowl halftime,
J-Lo
2019,
inauguration,
2020, J-Lo inauguration.
Loud.
My album while I was doing the show.
Exactly. Oh, look, you got to be selling. You just do. That's how
everyone
it works.
Needs to know also.
Yeah.
That I was but a mere invitee. This show was put together by Rana Glickman, Adam O'Byrne.
No.
Anthony McTony McManna, who came up with the drink. Iconic.
Yeah.
Who about Nick Husong?
Yep.
And Mimi Rogers. Do you know that I don't know Mimi's last name yet? I'm so sorry, Mimi.
I think Mimi Rogers is a great, because who doesn't want to be Mimi Rogers?
There's a lot of power in being Mimi Rogers. Mimi, she's the one who brought Tom into Scientology.
Full power of the church behind her.
That's right. So yeah. she's a heavy hitter.
That's exactly right. But you know what? That's what's called being a star. All the people do all the stuff. And then when it's time, they push you on stage.
That's
and
right.
You light it up.
And you should have seen me
and
off
that's
screen,
what you
Rana.
Did.
I kept saying, I cannot do this. There's no way I can do this. Yeah. I can't, not tonight. I can't. No, there's no way.
I can't go out there.
I can't go out there.
There's no chance. There's no chance. And you were just like Shirley Temple or a young Judy Garland. And
Thank you. Second
the spotlight hit, that was the end of it.
That was it. And then I was off stage doing barbiturates, uppers, downers.
Letting someone else raise your children.
Correct.
Yeah. And then we had Roryography.
Rory Davis.
Who taught us the official carriage house dance.
By the way, you can still see this show.
Oh, why are we acting like this is in the past?
Yeah.
For anyone who missed the show, go to AskRonaLive.com. Which will take you to the on location link and you can, and it's up for 7 days. So it'll be, I think it's next either Saturday or Sunday at midnight. It's over.
Yeah.
But you can watch the show. You can still buy a ticket. You can still watch the show. And it was just a fabulous night. And I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to pour themselves a hot burglar or a Negroni and just enjoy it. You know,
I had a few too many
what it was.
Hard burglars, Rana.
Well, it was Valentine's Day. We had to.
No, I know.
And of course, during the show, we gave away the most gorgeous basket to our trivia winner from the Rare T-Seller people.
I'm also a client.
That's what I was going to say. I'm going to let you talk about this for a second because I know that you are to the point that I feel like I need an intervention. Might be going from a coffee person to a tea person, which I'm not happy about.
Rana, I rely on you to be
the celebrity spokesmodel of Ask Rana Coffee.
I wish I could be a smokesmodel. All I want to do is smoke cigarettes for money. But I will say this. I drink my coffee in the morning, and then my afternoons, I drink my hot tea because it calms me down. And I was not a tea before we're a tea seller. Truly, that is true.
That makes me happy to hear because oftentimes we would sort of, if I ever had to deal with you in the afternoon, I'd have to know just how many cups of tea you had had at that point. I mean,
absolutely.
Coffee rather. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you switched to tea at about 1?
At about 1 o'clock, I switched to tea. I have probably 30 flavor. I'm not kidding. I have an entire pantry of tea.
From Rare Tea Seller. I'm not surprised because once you go
all
on their site,
yeah.
You become obsessed with wanting to try everything they have there. And they have the most incredible exotic, gorgeous flavors.
And I have to say, Rana, I am not an innovator, and I'm not one who likes change, and who I am also one who thinks they can't do something that fancy people do. So this is like loose leaf tea, and I was like, there's absolutely no way I know how to handle that. There's just no way.
But what I do, how much should I put in? How hot should the water be?
Do you want to know what I do?
What?
Because it's the perfect measurement for a cup of tea. I get out, this is real, my carriage house spoon, and I spoon out my tea.
Ah, you scoop.
Put it in my little carafe here with the thing.
Strainer?
Strainer. Although they also sell tea bags that you can put them in. But yeah. I got to say, it has elevated me.
Yeah.
To being a better me.
Tim and Kim, brother and sister.
Funny.
And Rod, who run the joint. Rod's the Indiana Jones who goes and finds everything.
He's the one we want to date. Yes.
Yeah. The source. He's both a sorcerer and a saucer.
That's right.
Things. They put together for us in the carriage house this gorgeous gourmet gift set. Let me tell you what was in this thing. I hate to tell you.
We gave this away at the show.
Well, and the person who won didn't deserve it. Let's just get frank about that. But you know what? That's what winning is. You win a prize, which you know you don't deserve to get your hands on at all. And it's a life changer.
It is.
When you become a prize winning person, it absolutely changes your life.
You're right, Ron.
In this gorgeous set, I hate to tell you, there was, of course, jamón de bellota, my favorite, coming right from Salamanca. Gorgeous Iberico ham. Lobster oil. Wow. We couldn't do anything without our lobster oil. A gorgeous tagine paste, which is a beautiful Moroccan paste that you used to make a tagine. Smoked paprika, pickle, just gorgeous Moroccan flavors. A violet mustard, pardon me. No one who listens to this show is good enough for that.
Yeah, including yours truly.
A beautiful rose harissa, which you can put right on top of your tagine as soon as you're done cooking it. A bourbon barrel smoked pepper, pardon me. A gorgeous gourmet sea salt from Murray River, pardon me, which is actually an Australian sea salt, I hate to tell you.
Okay.
And a lot of sharks pepper. There, though. Lots of sharks. It's true.
So
you
be
might
careful.
Be getting a little taste of great white shark juice in that salt.
That's, what a selling point.
But it was so gorgeous. And people can now still go and use the offer code Brian.
B-R-Y-A-N. Don't get fresh. Yeah.
And they get 20% off their first order at Rare Tea Cellar.
I got to tell you, I wish it was my first order all over again because I'm like addicted.
You're going to have to start coming up with aliases and up new credit card numbers and new emails, all kinds of things.
You're right. You're right. Yeah. And you know why I really want to do that? Because sometimes Kim and Tim throw a little something extra to me. So, you know, in the bag, because I think
it's so generous.
They are. But that's why I think I should really stick it to them by always getting the 20%.
Take it. You know, those fools who do nice things, take advantage of them.
Exactly, Rana.
The other thing I'm completely obsessed with, though, that they sent me, which I was going on and on about Saturday night, is those gorgeous raspberry flavor pearls.
Oh, wear them?
Which a Michelin star, you could like a candy necklace.
Yeah.
A Michelin star chef would maybe put that on like a dessert or, you know, and I've been using them in my drinks to give me like a gorgeous, it's almost like an elevated boba. And
got
I don't know
it.
Where else I would find this. It's so gorgeous.
Yeah, that's a good find.
So anyway, go on there, look through their pantry, Rare Tea Cellar, C-E-L-L-A-R.
That's the joke.
.com.
Yep.
That's the whole joke. Stella Dura.
Yes.
And Stella Dura breadsticks.
Yes.
And I'm not even kidding. You could spend hours on that pantry and you just, I just keep putting things in my cart. And then when I get to the end, I have to say, okay, now my cart's $1,500. I have to take a few things out.
Rana, I mean, you should have seen my tea lineup before the show. I really had to make sure to consult with my body and my throat and my instrument.
What are your top three flavors right now of tea?
Grapefruit Grove.
Mmm.
Mm-hmm. Chamomile Mint.
Oh, well, that's a classic.
Classic. And spiced clementine are my three favorites.
Ooh.
And I just tried a caffeinated one, a bourbon chai. Delicious.
Now, are you thinking about turning it into like a chai latte or no?
You could. But you know what else I like to do with the grapefruit?
What?
I like to squeeze a little bit of fresh Maya lemon in there. And I do that with the clementine too. It takes it over the top.
Wow. Do you put honey in any of these?
I don't. I don't. Well, but you could.
They're that good on their own.
They really are.
I don't like when people add mint to honey to mint. That drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I think it's disgusting. And wow, I don't care who knows it.
Okay.
I don't care who I'm alienating.
Glad
with that
we
comment.
Did the show before you said this.
Speaking of people being alienated by a comment, pardon me.
I don't care.
Really? Well,
who
I think
is it?
You
what
do.
Happened?
People went absolutely. I'll say bananas because we've got the banana boys.
We got the
up
banana
today.
Boys. Rana, game, set, match.
We got. I don't know if we've ever had more comments on anything.
My DMs. QAnon followers have come through.
You're not kidding. They all came out of the woodwork to talk about the ramen conspiracy and how they have all, just like you, grew up as little tiny trash bags, then grew up into larger trash bags, who would munching on dry ramen.
The best.
Adding the flavor packs. Do you want to read some of these comments? I could not get over this.
I got to say, and you want to know what's effed, Rana? Is my friends who listen to the show, along with you,
Stephanie,
texted me and were like, you do that? That is so disgusting. And I was like, well, first of all, I did that. But everyone in my life thinks it's disgusting. Everyone online thinks it's amazing.
Well, what does that tell you, QAnon?
That I have the wrong friends.
You're the new Marjorie Taylor Greene. All your friends are online.
<I'll>
and they all
with
agree
pride.
With you.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
that makes it real.
All right.
I just pictured you like a Muppet baby, Brian Safi, and in your outfit was a little tiny little trash bag that you wore over your diaper.
That's kind of cute, actually.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't mind that.
You'd be a cute Muppet baby.
I think I would too. You would too, actually, Rana.
Rana baby, of course.
Of course.
Well, we haven't seen that. People don't mind drawing me coming out of a cake with the world's biggest bazooms, but no Rana baby drawings yet.
God, you're right. I would actually love that. I'm going to say this. I would frame that.
Well, let's see how it turns out first.
Well, really, this framebridge.com is really what I wanted to say.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not a free ad. Okay. Right. So read some of these comments.
Christian 17, and he did that with Roman numerals. When I was a Boy Scout, we would just eat the ramen raw so we didn't have to cook in the woods, LOL. Miss or MJS PDX must be from Portland.
Yeah. What a lazy Boy Scout he was.
How dare you want to innovative. Raw top ramen here, although I'd break it up while the package is still sealed, and that's what I did, and would sprinkle half the seasoning packet in. I would do that, or I would eat it like a granola bar. Raw top ramen is a delight, says Brett Harity. I like to crush it up in the bag first, but I've gone the protein bar route as well.
The zero protein bar.
The actual 0.0 protein in that thing. Andrew Newhart, guilty pleasure, raw ramen. I don't even use the flavor packet. Brian was right. It has a nice crunch. On and on and on and on. But then someone at Clefus gave a tip and said, what you should do is open the bag, take out the seasoning packet, then break the block into pieces, sprinkle the seasoning and shake the bag. I haven't done this in years, but it's so good.
Then we got this hysterical, we got one, oh, well, maybe we don't have it here. We got a DM from someone who said
Hang on, not so fast. Do you feel like, do you want to make an apology to me, Rana?
For what?
Don't you feel like you were in the wrong about something?
Oh, that you mean people do, it is a thing people do. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and it's the normal way.
Oh, I wouldn't go so far as to call it the accepted tradition of how to eat top ramen because it comes with instructions on the bag.
If QAnon has taught us anything,
instructions don't say rip open like a caveman cartoon and start crunching. That's not what the instructions say.
Look, Rana, I am a single mother on the go. I have absolutely no time.
I could see you in your car because I know you're a car eater.
I certainly am.
I could see you in
although
your car.
Although not as much anymore because I'm not driving anywhere, but yes.
Of course, but with the whole stack.
Yeah. I love a crunch. I really do.
Yeah. But somebody wrote to us and said he did it as a child too, and he's pretty sure he had juvenile hypertension as a result because the sodium is so through the roof with top ramen. It does have about 700 milligrams of sodium.
But what if you don't use the seasoning?
Well, then it's healthy, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all I'm saying is like I was into protein bars before anybody else.
Oh, yeah. Let's do a couple of quick comments here. And
we've got gorgeous reviews.
Yeah. I mean, reviews, exactly. And then we got to bring in the banana boys. But we love saying that. I love saying banana boys.
Bring in the banana boys.
You know, Scotty wrote Ma. We're going to talk to him about that when he comes on.
He wrote what?
Octavia Spencer, the movie Ma.
They're making a sequel.
He wrote it. Scotty wrote it.
Oh my God, you're kidding.
And Kurt, of course, is an absolute star.
Hysterical.
And the last time we saw him, he was opening for Metallica in San Francisco. Remember that? We ran into him outside the Mac Hotel.
I do remember that.
Yeah. Okay, read these two reviews, but we have to thank people.
That's where we took the elevator ride from hell. We don't need to talk about it. It was the worst elevator ride I've maybe ever had.
Who were those terrible people?
Remember?
What happened with those terrible people? They were rude to us. I can't remember what they said to us.
It seemed like he had hired her for a night.
What were the jokes he was making that she was laughing at?
It was awful. It was truly awful.
That's how you knew she was paid by the hour, because there was no way any woman in the universe could have felt good about being with a man like that.
That was the elevator ride from hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Mac Hotel isn't what it used to be. We were trying to go to the top of the Mac for a drink. We got up there and it was all call girls and
all the bars shut their doors to us.
Salesmen.
The Tonga Room shut its door to us.
Well, they had to because the Metallica concert had just let out.
Right.
So it was full of, you know, those people.
Sure.
Okay. Two quick comments. And thank you to everybody who has been rating and starring and reviewing, which really, please do it. It means everything.
It keeps us in the game and in the algorithm.
It takes you 2 seconds. It costs you nothing. We appreciate it. Like we can't tell you.
Yes.
And of course, five stars only.
And
follow us on Instagram. If you're not following us on Instagram, you're missing. We got a gorgeous email from Allison Rosen, your new best friend this week.
Love her.
Saying, I don't know who's doing your Instagram, but they're doing a gorgeous job. And I just had to tell you. I mean, is that sweet?
It's so sweet.
Yeah.
She just had Phil Rosenthal on, Rana.
Excuse me.
You know what he's saying?
I didn't. Are you jealous?
No, of course. Look.
I'll call him right up.
I know you will, Rana. Anytime I bring anyone up, you've got him on the phone.
We have, by the way, some people coming up on this podcast that no one's going to believe we were ever able to get. And that's all I'm going to say.
Oh, you mean in the future?
In addition to the bananas. People are already going bananas for the bananas.
Yeah, well, listen, they talk about something bananas every week.
It's a fun show.
Yeah.
I mean, it has been a real pandemic hit. Okay, two quick comments. We got to get out of here.
Two quick comments, Rana. Five-star review from Telluin09. In any event, here's another five-star review. Love, love, love this podcast. Truly the light of my pandemic. Rana and Brian are a scrumptious duo of style, sophistication, finesse, and overall sage wisdom. Ask them a question. Get sassy. Expect Rana to call it how it is and Brian to suggest filling your step-cousin's leaf blower with soy milk. Did I mention...
that made me laugh.
Did I mention the top-tier Carriage House guest list and the fidelity that comes in the form of a delicious custom coffee line and a Ronica gift-giving guide? Yes, you read that correctly. Must listen, must indulge. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Signed, Murder Hornet. Whatever happened to this?
Those
sort of came and went.
I love that.
Okay, five stars from Cash 4179. Ha, talking my language. I have arrived. I absolutely love Ron and Brian. I've been a Brian stan since the early days of Throwing Shade, aka Attitudes, but the minute I heard Ron's voice, I knew I had to make room for a new favorite. Rana and Brian are nothing short of amazing. These two lovelies offer hilarious commentary and sage advice with the help of some top-tier guests. And talk about luxury. Rana has opened my eyes even wider to the finer things in life. Ron and Brian have been my oasis throughout the pandemic, and is this the same person? And I'm truly grateful. P.S. I just received my Ask Rana coffee, and I'm in love. I opened the Shades of Vanilla first and took a big sniff.
I'm saving the carriage house, but
that's right. When I sit down for breakfast with my cheddar scallion waffles made in my Dash Mini waffle maker, excuse me, my perfectly sweetened cup of Shades of Vanilla and Ron and Brian in my airwaves, all is right with the world. Thank you for all that you do. Take care and stay safe.
Well, now we're going to give the waffle maker away as the gift today because I forgot about the waffle maker. It's so cute.
This is people need to understand that, yes, of course, things are planned, but some things are on the fly if we're inspired.
I had a whole other thing I was going to do, but sometimes I just think, oh, I want the waffle maker. And then why not give it to somebody else? That's how we do it here. All right, listen, we've got to let these banana boys in.
We've got to get the bananas
busy.
In here.
Let these bananas in. Let's get to it. Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something. You can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss. Wait a minute.
Rana.
We've got the banana boys here today.
A couple of fruits. I feel like I can say that, but they can't. So don't respond to that.
That is one of my favorite old-fashioned expressions. Calling
fruit cake or fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It actually is pretty good.
You can't really call anyone a fruit anymore unless you're a fruit.
It's true. And then you do it all the time.
Yeah.
Scotty Landis and Kurt Braunholer are here from Bananas.
Hi.
The Banana
Hi guys.
Boys are here.
Bananas.
Oh, we're so delighted to have you guys here with us today.
Oh, well, thank you for having us.
We
we're excited
love
to
your
chat.
Show, which has been
it's
an
so
absolute
funny.
Hit of the pandemic, excuse me.
Because it's so surprising.
No, the show is fabulous because
so funny.
It's not only, what I love the most about the show, I think, is that it's all true.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, depending on how the story is reported, we'll just say, I mean, it's true in the way that Bigfoot's true. Let's put
That's
it there.
Right.
Let's
it's
put it that
true
way.
In the way that we're trusting these journalists, usually from real news websites, but sometimes we do go to some smaller websites.
So I was going to ask, blogs, and this is a real ABC7 local news question.
Please give
Please.
It to
yes.
us.
How do you guys memorize all those lines? Just kidding. But how do you come? How do you find those stories? Are there certain websites you go to, or do you just go to local papers, or? Because they take a big, ridiculous headline, and then you sort of are on that for an hour with a guest. And
yeah,
it, gets
it
into
used to
mania
be
and
that
brilliance.
We would have to like find them all, but now
yes.
The Bananimals do it all for us.
Yeah.
We are they're just constantly sending us, and they are in parts of the internet that are
sure.
dark. They are small
right.
little corners.
Right.
So we just get stuff sent to us, and we kind of have to like, you know, we're looking at a ton of messages and stuff, but it's the best way to do it.
Crowdsourcing, I think
yeah.
they call it.
They
crowdsourcing.
Rana, look at you.
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
cool.
The only thing that worries me a little bit, and I don't know that it actually affects the kind of news you're reporting.
Yeah.
Right.
But all of this crazy sort of amalgamation of local papers. Which is that
the Sinclair thing?
Yes, which something that used to be, oh, it's the, you know, Boise Herald Tribune, which
right.
used to be a paper. And now
right.
all these guys have come and gobbled up all these different papers. And so what happened? I mean, really, I think affects more actually political coverage and that sort of thing. Not these fabulous, bizarre stories that find their way to you.
They do go viral. We will get from our fans, they will send in stories and we will go from like, oh, that's a good one and I'll save it. And then we'll get it from 20 different news sources from 100 different people. And it's just like, there is sort of a confluence where all these things come together and everybody's like, this is wild. We're going to do this story. And it gets to the point where Kurt and I are like overwhelmed by certain stories. It's usually one or two a week that we'll get from maybe like 200 or 300 people.
Yeah.
What
very strange.
Give us your top two favorite, most bizarre stories you've done.
Oh.
And then we have to move on because that's not what the show is about. We
of
didn't
course.
Bring you here to interview you and talk about your show. We brought
no,
you here
no,
because
no.
people need advice.
That's
and
right.
we're going to give it to them.
I can't wait.
We'll give
I can't
some bad
wait.
Advice.
Scott,
I loved a story early on where Charlie Rose was our guest, and it was about
Charlie
a woman
Rose.
That... Well, I wish. Chaley. She's a singer.
Oh,
my God. I know. I was like, Charlie Rose, when? That's a complicated
yeah.
I couldn't believe he was doing press again.
Yeah. I saw him once, and yeah, he was in a convertible in Soho in Manhattan, and he just looked at me very angrily for some reason.
It
and I
all
kept walking.
Seems true, just
but
based
it does
on that.
Sound, it does sound like when you say Charlie Rose, Chaley, it sounds yeah. like when Rana says Charlie Rose. It yeah. sounds exactly yeah. like it.
Yeah, Charlie Rose, Charlie Rose.
Yeah.
But the story was a woman early in the pandemic washed her hands for, I think, 48 hours or 72 hours with a piece of cheese. She didn't realize that it wasn't soap. And there's just something so funny to me about somebody being like, we were also stressed at the beginning of this about washing our hands and like what, and she just grabbed this thing that was square and was like, this smells terrible. So that's America for you.
Imagine
washing hands with cheese
so
for 2 days.
Detail oriented and so wrong. You know, like both those things.
I yeah. will say to her credit that the original soap was made of whale fat.
Rana,
there you
so
go.
I
there
will
you go.
Say
thank you, Rana.
Cheese is a fat, I'll just say. Yep. Yeah,
it could work.
I saw Fight Club.
I'm assuming it didn't lather, though. I am assuming it didn't lather.
No, but I'm assuming also that after she washed her hands, they were covered in cheese, and she didn't realize that for a very long time.
She thought, I could live with this pandemic for a while.
Yeah, and cheesy, then she ate her hands.
Cheesy paws, exactly.
That's right.
Yeah, delicious cheesy paws.
Yeah, why not?
I think my favorite story was there is... Like, the title was very outrageous. It was like, Dolphin LSD Sex Experiment. NASA Jeez. Uses mm-hmm. Dolphin LSD Sex Experiments. Yep. And
right.
So it sounds crazy.
Oh, no, that's for sure true.
It's yeah, and it is true. And I can't remember the names of the people, but there's actually an entire, I think, radio lab about it. It's,
yes.
It's a scientist was tasked by NASA to try and teach a dolphin to speak English. And the mm-hmm. way they did that is by building her an apartment that was half flooded. And the dolphin lived with her, and she lived in a half flooded apartment.
What?
And then the dolphin fell in
what?
Love with her, and she kind of fell in love with the dolphin.
Yes.
And it would it wouldn't concentrate to learn English until she gave it a hand job, like every single day. And then she could go back to like teaching this dolphin to try and say apple. And this had lasted for 2 fucking years until they were like, turns out dolphins don't speak English. And that was the end of the experiment.
But thank you.
My soul has left my body. That is the
no
absolute
question.
Number
my,
one craziest.
Mine left the building, no question.
Yeah. And it's all true.
They became lovers. They became lovers.
How much would someone have to pay you to live with a in a half wet apartment with a dolphin for 2 years?
I actually don't think there's enough money. But I'm wondering if this came before or after Shape of Water, because it sounds like the same sort
way
of deal.
Before. This before. Is in the 70s or 60s.
Oy.
This is also making me think, though, I wish for the life of me I could remember the name of this film. And I bet I'll be shocked if either of you do. But maybe someone
so insulting,
who
Rana.
Grew up in Boston and watched Channel 56, the Saturday movie, will remember this movie. There was a movie that either took place, it was like a 60s movie. So it either took place in a, you know, like the James Bond. It's not the James Bond, because everyone's going to say, oh, James Bond, not James Bond.
Okay.
In like an underwater, you know, shell with somebody not a shell, but a research facility.
Right.
And part of that was that, of course, everything is, you know, whenever you enter those through a submarine or whatever, it's that
Absolutely.
There's a pool of water in the center and then you come up.
I knew the movie.
But there were dolphins living in that facility in that movie. It was one of those 60s sci-fi kind of movies.
Fun.
Oh. Yeah. And I can't remember it, but maybe someone else can.
I thought you were going to say it was The Abyss, but that was probably 80s, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, much later than The Abyss.
Was Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio in that movie too, Ron?
God, I loved her so much as a
no,
kid.
No, but the An same icon. Person that does her wig did the wigs for the 60s movie.
For the dolphins.
The dolphins hair was very 70s.
Well, you know, dolphins are very randy, first of all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
very
they're smart,
sexual.
And they're stubborn. So it's true that it probably wouldn't do any homework without getting a hand job.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, of course, dolphins. Well, you know, they had a pig playing video games today. That was a headline. They taught a pig
That's
how
right
to play
up our
video
alley.
Games.
We would love that. That
I can't
sense.
Believe we
they're
haven't
very
gotten
smart.
That.
Yeah,
they are very
it's
smart.
Probably in your inbox. You just haven't looked yet.
But you know what? They're so smart that they know how to get what they want, and they know, and what they want is food, and how they get it is screaming. So if you have a pig in your house, I had a friend who had a nervous breakdown. He had to Yeah. He had to throw food in his sleep because the pig would just scream until he got what he wanted. And finally, they had to move to a farm.
Story.
Was it a big pig or a little pig?
Well, guess what? Like all these domesticated pigs, it's supposed to be small. Of course, it grows up. And it would just, he said, if it doesn't get what it wants, it screams.
Was this friend George Clooney?
Yeah. No.
Wow.
Pretty cool. He has a Vietnamese potbelly pig, very famously.
Oh, okay.
Dear Ron and Brian.
Oh, here we go.
Person, by the way, we should have accepted this letter because they didn't even address our guests. Thank you very much, which is, I apologize for the infraction.
It's okay.
Thank you, Rana.
I speak for myself and my sister when I say we love your shows and follow you both around podcast to podcast like sad little gropies. We are in need of advice on an issue with our mom. I am a 26-year-old currently living at home while I finish my physical therapy rotations nearby for grad school. My mom, I'm going to say mom because mom is hard for me to pronounce. My mom is the only other one living in the home currently. Her problem has to do with her meticulous dental hygiene.
It
is ruining, period, my, period, life, period.
What does she do? Wow.
About 2 years ago, I started noticing when I came back home to visit that there were always those plastic flosser picks. They're called dental swords, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
At any place she sits in the house. Used in all caps.
Ew,
she uses them for months until I get the courage to throw them out, just letting them sit on end tables, counters, even in her car cup holders. I was hesitant to say anything at first because it is her house/car, and who am I to tell the woman who, excuse me, birthed me, not to mention still helps me financially as I finish school, that she can't let her tooth gunk fester in her own home.
Right.
That was until she spent an extended time back east in Rhode Island. Massachusetts' wicked crazy sister, yes.
And now she has no teeth. Mm-hmm. She got in a big fight there. She lost them all.
Where my sister lives to help with her new baby. Lo and behold, the flosser picks showed up there too, sprinkled around her home. My question is, how do we rid our mother of this bad habit? Do we passive-aggressively just start throwing them away until she gets the message? Do I risk saying something to her at risk of getting the boomer silent treatment? I didn't know that was a thing. I'd love to know
Me
more.
Me neither.
Thank you both, and happy Valentine's Day. Haley, you can use my name.
Okay.
Thank you, Haley.
Kurt.
I have an idea.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a suggestion. Because here's the thing about those picks is that they're not great for the environment. They're all these little plastic things. Yeah. So what she's doing, what the mom is doing is actually environmentally responsible, but disgusting. So how do we solve that? Little glasses of vodka. And then she just pops it in the little glass of vodka. It sterilizes it. It's not disgusting anymore. She can reuse them for as long as she wants.
So not like the blue stuff they would use in a dental office. They usually put it in mouthwash, actually.
Yeah, you could do little things of mouthwash, pop them in there. Yeah,
and
you
do them in like Hard Rock Cafe shot glasses.
Perfect.
From all the different cities.
From all the different cities.
How many countries are there?
Yeah, Tulsa's in the bedroom.
Berlin.
We got St. Petersburg, Florida in the kitchen.
Yeah, a little Antarctica one.
Exactly.
But what you're telling me, though, now I have disgusting glasses of vodka all around my house with these dental swords in them.
No, the vodka's totally clean. You know, it kills all the...
They're just sitting there open in the house.
Yeah, so you have to fill them up a little bit. They'll probably evaporate over time.
That's true.
It sounds like to me the real issue here is Haley doesn't want her mom to cut her off financially, because to me this seems like you walk into the room and you hold one and you say, "Mom, please stop leaving these everywhere. It's really disgusting. Can we just leave these in the bathroom? Thank you so much." But then if she's going to get silent treatment or financially cut off, I think that's the fear. Just say something.
Also, what kind of monster is your mom? Listen, your mother is not a monster.
No. She's got great
teeth. First of all, because she is supporting you in some way and you seem to be fine with it, and maybe you need the support right now and that's fine. But I do I do think that this is really, and this is my Judge Judy talking. I think it's her house. And I think you can say something to her, but she's going to do what she wants to do. It's not really your place to say. It's your place to say something, but you can't enforce rules there.
No. At the sister's house, though, that's pretty insane true. To me that it traveled, that this habit. I mean, just walk in the room with a mouthful of Listerine, and when you start talking, just let it fall out of your mouth every time you see your mom and be like, it's hygienic. I'm cleaning my teeth, mom.
Yeah.
We're both cleaning our teeth,
mom. See if she minds that you're leaving a puddle of Listerine everywhere you go in the house.
It's actually cleaner than what she's doing.
That's true. Or put them under her pillow or something like they do with, people do that with laundry. Just like put them in her bed.
Yeah, I think this is one of those things. When people get older, people wonder, how do people become baddie old ladies? How does it happen? Right. And the truth is, it happens, it's a game of inches. It's a slow decline.
Hell yeah, Ronna.
And you start doing certain things. Well, listen, I keep myself beautifully, and I keep myself together.
Oh, heck
but
yeah.
You have to want to. I mean, you have to be on top of it because especially if the pandemic has taught us anything, it's that if you don't pay a little bit of attention, you start to not mind a couple of things too much. And pretty soon it's that old story of you get to a certain age and people say, how am I going to live with another person? I'm 38 and I'm not married, but I don't want to change my ways or whatever the thing is. The problem is that you lose perception of the other people in your environment and you sort of think everything's okay unless somebody creates a boundary.
I like it.
I personally would try a joke first. I mean, a stern joke, but walk in holding a dental sword and saying, and just laughing and saying, okay, look, we have to talk about this. This is crazy. I found this one. In the cat's bowl or whatever, this is crazy now. And I appreciate that you want to keep your teeth beautiful, but it's pretty gross to find these all over the place. And the mother will either say, huh, I didn't think about it. And everyone will have a laugh or whatever, or exactly what Brian said will happen, which is my house, leave my dental swords wherever I want. And that's the end of that.
It also seems like a dental sword is more for like a gal on the go. If you're at home, aren't you just using floss? That just seems to be...
There are people who... The least surprising thing in this letter to me was that they find them in the cup holder. These are those people.
Right.
Nervous, driving, doing dental...
Can't sit still. Yeah.
Oh, while driving is crazy.
It's crazy.
Oh, it's the most... It makes the most sense of all of this to me, that you'd be driving. Because, they come with that sort of little... Accordion on the, not accordion, like a violin bow. That's what it looks like. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's basically just a piece of floss that works until it breaks.
It's a little symphony. Yeah. It's a little symphony in your mouth.
I once, speaking of crazy things to do while driving, I dated a Russian woman and her, like, she was born in Russia, came to America when she was like two, but her mom was straight up Russian.
Sure.
And her mom would drive the car, the car with a needle in one hand. And then that's how she would put on what's the thing?
You're
eyelashes?
Kidding.
Mascara? Yeah. That's mascara, right?
Lashes
on the eyelashes.
Or liner or lashes.
With a needle while driving,
which one?
Dipped into eyelashes. And then just
each one individually.
Yes. While driving with a needle. It was the craziest fucking thing. Like my girlfriend would just be like, mom, you got it. You can't drive with a needle a quarter inch from your eyeball. And that's how she always would do her mascara. So crazy.
Incredible.
This is why we love the Russians though.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Always. It's also it's the reason they're our greatest nemesis, and also that in some ways we should never worry about them.
Because they don't care if they poke their eye out or what?
They will they'll always do, things will be going so well for them, and then they will do something crazy.
Yes.
They make a decision that's crazy. That you just think, you were winning. All you had to do was keep going, and instead they're like, I know what we do. This will send a monkey to space, and then that monkey will get there first, and the whole world will say, who got to space first?
The monkey.
And people say, a dog? A monkey? How about a person? You got to send a person, or it doesn't count. Same with this vaccine. The Sputnik, they just said, yeah, let's just release it. And it seems like actually it works. There's a big article in the New Yorker this week.
There you go.
Because they have done so many crazy things over the years, the world said.
Right. It's like impossible to believe.
It doesn't matter if you got there first. No one believes you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dear God.
Brian Dia.
Love of my life. Okay.
Is that the letter or is that?
No,
is
that was just to you. Dear Ronna, Brian. Oh, here we go. And breathtaking guests.
Oh, there we go.
Oh,
so very nice.
You.
Finally.
I have a very sincere P.S. at the end to tell you how much I adore and appreciate you. Very nice. So I'll skip for now and you can decide if you read it on the air later.
Terrific. We'll read it.
The issue. My sister-in-law says the R word in casual conversation.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Some context. My brother and her have been together since he was a freshman in high school. They now have been together for the better part of a decade.
Disgusting.
I'm about 4 years. That honestly, yeah, it is
too
disgusting.
Long.
I'm sorry.
Too
that
long.
Is gross. It is.
Get some balls.
Jack and Diane, break it off.
You know what I mean?
No,
these
I agree.
Are people that are scared of their own shadows. They found one person that was willing to sleep with them and talk to them, and they said, stick.
This is enough.
Yeah. Hit me. Stick.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm about 4 years older than both of them. She is shy. It took her a very long time to feel comfortable being a part of our family.
Shy.
She just started eating in front of us a few years ago.
Normal.
She literally just used to sit there when we had her over for dinner.
No.
I'm aware this might be a separate issue.
Maybe.
I think it's a really big separation.
It's a really fucking crazy issue.
Yeah.
Huh. Nope.
And then
really?
When she did eat, we found that she dislocated her jaw and just placed her face down on the plate.
Pick it up and put it back in every time. Yeah.
Exactly. She did what Gina Davis does in Beetlejuice and just lifted her mouth apart. Uh-huh. They still live in
empty box of cereal.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
They still live in the small town where I'm from, walking distance from my parents' house. I have worked for over 4 years at a company that provides care to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities.
Good.
I was hired as an assistant and have worked my way up so that I'm now an advocate for the rights of the people we serve.
Yes.
I spend most of my time now dedicated to helping people that cannot advocate for themselves on their own.
Wonderful.
I'm pretty sure if you ask my brother or her about my job, they would have no idea what to say.
Yeah.
I
would guess not. I mean, she doesn't say anything at dinner. She barely opens her mouth. Yeah.
They have been together since they were preteens.
These are not curious people. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I only see them about 4 times a year, but I don't know how much longer. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The R word to me is just as offensive as any other slur. I'm hesitant to confront her about it as she took so long to warm up in the first place. And this is what she came out with, by the way.
Wow.
She warm definitely.
Up. There's no warming up.
No,
this is the. This is what you have now is what you're getting.
She definitely.
There isn't some fabulous person hiding inside yeah, right. of this shell.
Yes. Yeah. This is not the cocoon stage. There's no butterfly. No, there's no, it's all inchworm.
There's no butterfly.
For a person, a few words to pick that one is like,
yeah.
Why would you do that? Okay. I'm worried that, okay, I only see them about 4 times a year, but I don't know how much longer I can bite my tongue. I think she's truly a good person, but doesn't understand what that word really means. I'm worried that if I cut her off when she says it, which would most likely be in front of other family members, that I would sound like the bully, even though she's the one saying something offensive. How should I go about this? I don't want my family to be upset with me, but it is insane that I haven't said anything at this point to protect their feelings. It is an injustice to my clients. My husband said next time he'd say something, but that doesn't totally sit right with me. I apologize if this seems scattered, but this situation scatters my brain a little bit. I appreciate any advice from my two beacons of light. Kiss, kiss, DD advocate. P.S.
Wow.
You ready, Ronna?
I'm ready.
I have to admit, I am not a first-time writer. The last advice you gave me had me in tears of relief. It sounds insane, but having you two both give me permission to not feel guilty about having a child, despite my fears, was everything I needed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I remember her. I've listened to it many, many times. Sometimes an outside perspective from strangers you unconventionally trust is all you need. Thank you so much. And then, by the way, there's a clarification.
Oh, okay.
Sorry to contact again, but I wanted to clarify she isn't using the R word to describe people with disabilities in a derogatory way specifically. She
well, yeah, that would it, be insane.
That would be insane. She uses it in place of words like stupid, dumb, or annoying.
Oh, okay.
Can I say something? I thought when she said R word, I was on a different track. I thought she meant like assault.
Oh.
And it did not click in for me till now, which is I was like, that's the word she's picking? But really, I thought, the other one too.
Yeah. I thought she meant raisins. So I was confused the whole time.
Kurt's deathly allergic to raisins.
Dirty raisins.
There are people that do.
Yeah.
There are people that do. If can have raisins, they say add them.
If I can have raisins, I'll have them.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Grapes.
How do you
the whole situation? It's like a haunted house to me. Like to be in that neighborhood, I would run for the hills. So you marry a family, I guess, and if this person's going to be, it sounds like they're going to be part of your life forever. So
definitely.
But this nice woman works with people that would be offended by that word. So I feel like she has a professional ground to stand on and go,
yeah,
hi. This is what I do, guys, and what you're saying hurts my feelings, and it's also just not the right thing to say. And then just moonwalk out of the room. Just make your point and get out of there stylishly.
Yeah, I think you have to say something, and I think it's just like that. I think it's like, look,
it's easy.
This is what I do for a living. I'm with these people all the time. It's an actual slur. You cannot say it.
Right.
Yeah. And you just, next time it's said, just be like, listen, this is my job. That's the main part. That's the part that's just like, it's not out of the blue. It's going to be very recognizable. It's just going to be like, this is my job. And you can't say that. Then that's it. It's going to be, I bet you it'll be much easier than she's anticipating.
Especially because if she's already a little intimidated by you, which you said she was, I think she'll just sort of be like, like anyone is in situations when you're called out on something, like, oh, okay, and, you know, kind of be embarrassed.
Well, I agree that it needs to be confronted, but I would not do it in front of a room full of people. I think that these are provincial people. That's the first thing that we have learned. Everything you have told us, whether they live in a provincial place or they don't, these are people that have chosen to lead a very small existence. They live a minute from where they grew up. They dated they married the first person they slept with. Who knows if they even like each other? They're just totally codependent. You pull her aside and you say to her, which first of all, she'll be shocked you're going to do that anyway, because you've probably never had a one-on-one conversation.
She might just start screaming.
So that jaw's
going to unhinge and fall right to the floor.
Absolutely.
And you say, could we take a walk around the block, or can I talk to you for a minute, or can I have a cup of coffee with you, whatever it is. And I think you give her the absolute benefit of the doubt and you say,
wow,
I have to tell you something. This really bothers me. And for a minute, I don't believe that you're doing this. I think you're just doing this out of habit. I really don't think you even know what you're doing here. Because honestly, in Boston, people say it all the time. They've been saying it is a Bostonism, and it's tough and it's tough to break. People, it's one of those things that people just don't understand. They don't want to understand what it means. It means a different thing to them, but it means what it means. And now it's not acceptable anymore. Just like everything else, you have to take a moment and you have to figure out, you have to update give yourself the software update, and you got to move on. And you just say to her, I really don't even think you're doing this on purpose. I know you're such a sweetheart and you have such a great heart, but I really have dedicated my life to this thing.
Right.
And as you know, which she doesn't, but as you know, I work every day with disabled people, blah, blah, blah. And it actually breaks my heart every time I hear you say this, because I don't think people even around here, everybody says this, and they're saying it without realizing it, but it's really a derogatory and horrible thing to say. And I haven't said anything for so long because I know it's not where you're coming from, but I have to say something now. And I would just so appreciate it if you would stop using that word and just take a moment and think about what it really means.
And then at the end you say, and if you don't, look up there, and up there is a gutter and red balloons start coming out of it. mm-hmm. like Pennywise. And a friend, you've hired a friend to be down in the gutter.
Love
to
it.
Be like, got the picture? Yeah. And then she'll probably do the right thing.
I'll do it for free.
Well, I think great. She'll,
thank you. Scotty, that's good to know. Yeah. If I ever need a service like that, I'm going to reach yeah. out.
I think I'm also about changing lives.
I can see Scotty as Pennywise, actually. And I can totally. See the makeup
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, there is sort yeah. of. Yeah,
you
I can see it.
You have a good voice for Pennywise.
Yes.
Oh, thank yeah. you. Also, do you remember the show Life Goes On?
Of course. Yeah,
like Corky.
Yeah, there's an episode with Corky where he gets. So my advice would be go online. Buy the DVD of that season of Life Goes On. Trick your sister-in-law. Be like, I want to show you this like family video that'll teach you a lot about our family. And then just play it and stare at her the entire time. And just let Corky and the writers of Life Goes On take care of this issue for you.
And then be like, and by the way, the woman singing the opening theme song plays the mom in the show.
That's Patti LuPone.
Yeah.
Okay.
You say that.
I actually think she's going to be so... humiliated and embarrassed because I don't think
already.
She's ever made the connection between these things.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I
think
she'll be embarrassed.
If that doesn't work, if she really says it's just a word or something like that, you say, okay, this was important enough for me to pull you aside and have a conversation with you. This is probably the first one-on-one conversation we've had in about 10 years. So obviously this means something to me. And I just want you to know. If you don't stop, that's where you get scary. You say, if you don't stop,
yeah.
this will be the last conversation we ever have.
Yeah.
But Kurt, what do you think?
Yeah. I do think it's very critical because the embarrassment and the feeling embarrassed is going to be, you know,
shame
you don't want
her.
Them to have a problem in their relationship yeah. going forward because of that, because shame is like such a thing. What
but
I think is, you
gently.
Said is, yeah, what I think you yeah. said is very important is that. Remove the intention for her. Be
yes.
like, I know you're not intentionally trying to hurt these people. However, you are, you know? And so it's like, once you remove that intention for her, maybe she can not be defensive and take the criticism as opposed to just putting up a wall.
I think that's fabulous. Mm-hmm. I have one tiny more little thing because I'm remembering the letter that this woman wrote to us before, Brian. This was the woman I think.
I remember she was anxious about bringing a child into a world with climate change.
Correct.
And a disastrous government and yes. Every other thing.
Yeah.
She's very sensitive and vibrating at a very sensitive level.
Yeah.
And good. So I would say if that's your default is vibrating at a very sensitive level, find a way to tamp that down a little bit in this conversation and just deal with the very simple facts.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're giving people the opportunity to dismiss you. And say, here comes crazy bleeding liberal hot again. She's going to cry about the poor disadvantaged, developmentally disabled kids. Blah, blah, blah. Don't let them dismiss you. Say what you really want to say, but don't start, you know. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. what
truly.
I just said was a compliment.
I remember one time someone, I was visiting.
Yeah.
No, I remember one time someone, when I was visiting a home in Texas or whatever, one of my parents' friends, just really pick one, was like, oh, you're just a bleeding heart liberal. And I was like, yeah, I
yes.
sure am.
Correct.
You got it.
Bedwetting yeah. liberal.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're just a fruit.
Exactly.
Yes.
You know what,
yes.
Rana?
And you said,
you have
me?
Emotions.
Fruit is delicious.
That's right.
Yeah, it is.
Sure. I don't think anyone's arguing.
But yes, I think you're exactly right. Anything they could dismiss you for is actually a compliment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. This is our last question. How did this happen so quickly?
So
I don't even
fast.
Know. Dear Rana and Brian and guest. Greetings.
Yes!
Greetings, guests. Greeting from the land of 10,000 lakes. I'm writing to you because I find
Nevada.
Myself in a
Reno, Nevada,
that's
home of the Whopper,
the land of 10,000 dancing fountains. Reno, Reno,
oh.
Nevada. I'm writing to you because I find myself in a pickle, and I trust that you will have the expert guidance to help me through it. My ex and I broke up 2 years ago, but have remained friends since. A few months ago, I started seeing someone who I think could be the one. After
nice.
Hearing about my new relationship status, my ex informed me that it was too painful to have me in his life and that we needed to cease communication. I was saddened by this, but ultimately understood. During our relationship, my ex and I would pay our own way when going on vacation and other more expensive outings, concerts, goings to the theater, etc. Being that I was entrusted with planning and booking most of these outings, I would pay for everything initially and my ex would reimburse me for his portion later. Since breaking up, he's been paying me back in installments, but now the payments have stopped.
Wow.
And he still owes me $500. Asking him for the money feels like rubbing salt in the wound when I know he's already feeling heartbroken. However, I'm saving up for bigger purchases, a new car, a down payment on a house, and could use the money. I make about $35,000 a year, whereas my ex makes six figures. Excuse me.
And come on.
Do I ask for the money back or should I let it go and consider it a casualty of the relationship? Thank you for your time and thought and thoughtfulness. Miza in Minnesota.
You're making $100,000. $500 doesn't mean
no,
that much
to you. No, our person's making $35,000.
And the
no,
ex no, no. Right. Six figures.
Saying. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. At least yeah. $100,000, right?
I got to say, I think you just need to move on.
I agree.
Because all I know is when you're in a relationship, it's very hard to literally keep tabs. How many of those were loans, you know, like with the expectation for those to get paid back? And how many were just you wanted to do it? And so he came. You know, I just feel like a similar thing has happened to me before where someone owed me money at a time where I could have used it. I just didn't. I don't know. I just think.
I agree.
Yeah, move on, Scotty.
500 is a small enough number. Where is the stress of even thinking about this worth $500 to? Like, is it? You go. You know what? I'm just going to eat the 500. I'm not going to get it back, and then we are fully severed, and I never have to think about this ever again, neither emotionally or financially. There is. If it was 5,000, I would say show up every day to his door with a sack with a dollar sign on it. But this feels like 500. If you're saving up for a house and 500 is going to help, that's one thing. I can understand car and car payment for sure. But to me personally, the stress of worrying about this, I would let the 500 go and stop worrying about it.
Guys, I'm on the other side of this. I'm on the other side of this. When I lived in New York City, first year I lived in New York City, I made $24,500 a year working as an office manager. And $500 was a fucking ton of money to me.
Yeah.
It was so much money. That was an entire month's rent for me. So and if this guy is making six figures, just settle up. Do you know what I mean? Like, first off, you guys broke up. You're not responsible for his fucking emotional well-being anymore. You're broken up. The fact that you found someone doesn't mean now that he is somehow freed from his financial obligations
but
to you.
Why didn't she ask for the money 2 years ago?
Or he. I don't know what
he's been paying in installments. Or he or she.
Which
yeah.
is strange.
Right.
Is strange to begin with if you make six figures. You know, it almost sounds like he's using this money that he owes her as a way to continue contact and also have control. And so
That's
it's like fucking
saying.
Demand
That's
it to be to be paid back or cut it off. Yeah, but I mean, I think demand to be paid back.
Well, this $500 is the last thing that connects them because the other person has unresolved feelings. They broke up 2 years ago, and obviously they stayed friends, etc. But that person was harboring a hope that something was going to happen between them.
Yeah.
Now you're in a very serious relationship. So cosmically, another way to look at this is, aren't you lucky that you found someone terrific? Mm-hmm. If you paid $500 to a matchmaker to find this person for you.
Yeah.
And to get the other person out of your life, would it be worth $500 for you, to you? I understand. I'm not equating these things, but I'm just saying, if you want to have a little cosmic conversation with yourself where you say, is this worth the trouble? And I also sort of agree with Brian in the sense that in a dating situation, there's also all these other tiny little moments where I bought you dinner. You bought me dinner. Things that they weren't, unless these people were real splitting it to the dime people.
Sounds like it.
I bought the couch. Like you bought the lamp. You used the lamp. Okay, now you used the lamp for 2 years more often than I did. So now you owe me $37 for the electric bill. I mean,
right.
If you want to do that kind of math in your head, there's a way to justify this 10 different ways. I probably ate $500 worth of limes during our relationship. So, okay.
That person's not going to get scurvy. No chance.
No.
I'm just saying there are ways to justify
enamel.
This.
That's right.
Of course, it's really, if this was a loan, I would have said, don't ever loan anybody money if you want to get it back. That's what I would have said.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, people don't pay money back. And that you have to just know when you lend people money. It's not okay. It's not okay in any way, but a lot of times people don't.
Or get it in writing if it's a lot of money, always.
Yeah. But this wasn't a loan. This was, I'm the organizer and then you pay me back. And this person is absolutely holding this as the last tether to you. And they know that you're a bean counter. So they're expecting you to come back to them for this $500.
Kurt, so, how are you going to defend this?
Well, I do think you have to decide emotionally if you want to upset the apple cart that you're in right now. If you are in a good place, except for this thing that's getting under your skin. And look, I agree. $500 is a lot of money. It just is.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
And unless you're a super rich person, it's just the amount of money, which, by the way, this person chose. They didn't want to punish you too much, but they wanted you to punish you enough that you'd feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And, by the way, I just found out that $499 when you ship something does not require a signature. $500 does.
There you go. So the world agrees with you that it's
ship
a lot of money.
It.
At least the $499 sounds like a lot of money to me.
Yeah, it is. It is a lot of money. I just don't. You ask your partner for $500.
Ask your ex for $1,000 and then come down.
Yes.
You owe me $1,000 for what you did. And he goes, no, I don't. We go, how much do you owe me? He goes, $500. You go, fine, I'll take $500.
That's
fine. And then walk away happy.
You can send one more salvo.
I agree. I agree.
What you're doing is you are opening yourself up to a week just now where you're going to get an email that tells you just what this person thinks of you.
Yeah. Yes.
Or that this person is going to say, how could you do this to me? Blah, blah, blah. Or they're going to say, I have to admit, I'm hurt by the way that you broke up with me 2 years ago. You know, whatever the unresolved this and that is. If you want that, if you want to be slimed, okay, you're going to get Nickelodeon slimed. So if it's worth $500 to you to get slimed, anybody watch the Nickelodeon?
Of course.
Football.
Can't do that on television.
Cover the Super Bowl. No, the Super Bowl coverage.
Yeah,
they were sliming
so good.
People on the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's
great. It was pretty funny. They had their own coverage, so they had SpongeBob running around and sliming people. And then somebody did a joke of it for the impeachment hearings where they had David Schoen getting slimed and SpongeBob was where the American flags were supposed to be.
Rana, I never pegged you as a slime fan.
No, but sliming... Sliming is the same as, okay, think of it as a poisonous tree frog. Do you want someone to spit in your face?
I agree. I think
that's what you're going to get here.
Yeah.
So if you're ready to sit through that for $500, then that's fine. But the other version is, and I understand that it's money and everyone has different associations with money and it means something. But if you would like to just sit back and take a moment and meditate on this and say, the universe handed me some happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And this person doesn't mean that you shouldn't still be furious that this person hasn't paid you back. But this person is sitting in their misery and is heartbroken and is not handling it like an adult or well. Mm-mm. And
I do think you could, if you wanted to, maybe just ask, I don't know, one more time. I don't know. Yeah,
definitely,
but then it
you
gets
can ask. I definitely think it's driving you crazy. Go ahead and ask one more time.
Yeah.
But you're going to get an email.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like asking could
get
you the email.
That's
or you're
the other
essentially
thing.
Paying $500 to not get that email where the person tells you to
that's
go fuck
true.
Yourself.
They might also do that, though. They might also just not respond. That may be what they decide, and then that's going to drive you up a tree. Do I email again?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
cut
I say,
off.
Sure,
cut
one salvo, you want to do it, but you should probably discuss this with your partner, too. Because your partner's going to, whoever knows the ins and outs of this relationship, that person's going to say, this is the same person who did A, B, and C. Or, but this person's just not handling this well. They're not. And they really should not. You could play this for them if you want to. You could send them this.
Yeah.
And say, this is who you
I'll
are.
Show up.
This is who you are right now. Are you proud of that?
I've got an idea too. Is okay. You go to the house at night and steal their DirecTV antenna and ooh, maybe great. Like exchange it for some money. You know?
Yes.
That is a great
get up
idea.
On their roof.
Ransom.
Yeah.
That's
you
a
get their
idea.
DirecTV antenna and you just say it's $500 to get it back. No, you'll just go and get a guy to come and put a new one on. Then you'll just have
I'll
an
do
antenna.
It. I'll put on the costume. I'll show up. I'll be like, wow, it's
we've got $4.99.
So you don't have
you're
to
you're gonna
sign
have to get a costume trunk with all the things we're gonna put you up to.
Fine. I have so much time, you guys. I have nothing yes, going on please. These days.
You can send one more email, but then move on and be happy in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're looking for a tether too. And you'll have to examine that.
Right. It doesn't seem like they are, but maybe.
No.
You never know.
I don't think so either, but we'll see. Please send us an update.
Kurt, Scotty, yes. Now yeah. is the time of the show where Rana and I gift someone something, whoever we think really deserves it this week. So it's between one of these three letter writers.
Yeah.
So okay. Is it the ex owes me money, or is it the sister-in-law who says a terrible thing, or
yes.
is it the daughter of the flosser?
And would you like to know what they're getting?
Oh, yeah. What's yes. the gift?
Well, sometimes we tell them, sometimes we don't. We mix
it's $500.
This up. $499 in one.
Give it yes. to the flosser.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yep. I think we should give two out of the three letters $500.
Yeah.
That is so funny. Yeah.
That R word sister-in-law, nope.
We are giving away. So our favorite electronics company is this company called Dash. And they make something called an egg cooker where you can make 7 eggs. And it okay. boils the most. You can also
perfect.
Poach them and do other things. But it comes with
fun.
This little water thing, and it says hard and soft. And you sort of eyeball it and decide, I like a mostly hard or
yeah.
whatever
yeah.
it is. And in 6 minutes later, it has boiled the perfect eggs for you. And it sings to you when it's ready. The cutest song you've ever heard.
It is super cute.
That's not what we're giving away today.
Oh, thank goodness.
That's just for your, that's for your information.
These people also make a mini waffle maker.
Cute.
Ooh.
So cute.
What's cuter than a waffle? A small waffle.
Small one. Yeah, right.
And these things are so cute. And we never give away the waffle maker. We always give away the egg cooker. Well, we're giving away the waffle maker today.
Oh, Kurt, who do you think you should go to?
I'm going with $500.
Me too.
Scotty, okay.
Me too. That was the first thought in my mind is that the universe owes her a little something back. And this now she feels like she only needs $490 back.
That's
so,
true.
So little waffles for
how
the bean counter.
How dare you assume this is a $10 gift?
When she sells it on eBay, that's what she's
like
getting for
it. Sounds like somebody might already have a Dash waffle maker.
What do you think I've been snacking on this whole podcast? Mini waffles.
Mini waffles.
God. Brian, do you agree? I don't know if you do. I want to hear it.
I sort of was, it was a toss up for me between her and the sister-in-law who works with those, not the sister-in-law, but the writer who works with those children. I thought yeah. like, I, for me, it could go either way. I really do like both of those options.
The only reason I'll argue for the $500 lady is because I feel like it sparked the most interesting debate of advice.
Okay. I'll go with $500 because I think
you're
right.
We don't want to give food to the mother. We don't want to give any more food to the woman
no,
who picks her teeth
God,
all the time.
No.
So let's keep waffles away from her for sure.
She's out of the running. Forget
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I have to do a quick Google right now because I'm dying to know if this person is a man or a woman. I just am dying to know because
which
we
person?
Keep about the ex and then broke up.
Oh, I always assumed it was a woman.
I did too.
Yep.
Oh, it's a guy.
It's a guy.
Well, then forget it.
I thought it was a guy too.
Same. Everything.
I thought
Same.
It was a guy too.
Same
oh,
for me.
I
did not.
It was
I thought it was
woman.
A girl.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, are we sticking with it?
Well, now
is he
I forgot.
Still getting
what
the waffle maker?
Hang on. I forgot what the whole bit of the question was. Someone wanted $500 for something? I literally can't remember.
He broke up with someone 2 years ago. They were still friends. Now he met the one. He told him he's moving on. The other guy broke off all communication and owes him $500.
I don't mean to, listen.
That guy makes $100,000 though, and he makes $35,000.
That's fine. Women make 70% of what a man makes on a dollar. So I am now firmly, well, not so firmly. I could go either way.
No, Brian, I'm on your side now. I think we give it to the woman who has a problem with her sister-in-law.
I do too.
But did she win last time? I wish I knew.
Oh,
when she sent your question before.
That's why.
I'll tell you right now, there's no chance she won last time.
I don't
think
she did.
It wasn't the kind of question she was going to
win. She could win on special needs, but she wasn't going to win on existential dread about bringing a child into a climate change world.
Yeah, I don't think we gave her
something. We would never award that kind of anxiety.
That's right.
Wow.
Scotty.
We give with one hand and we take away.
What's your final answer? Unbelievable.
I'm happy to make it unanimous and go with a woman who works with special needs kids who needs to tell her sister-in-law to stop saying the R word. That sounds like is that what you guys are saying?
Yeah. You know what? I just had an idea.
What's the idea?
Let's do it.
An invitation to eat a mini waffle together is a great time to have a conversation.
That's
true. I just got a mini waffle maker. Let me make you a mini waffle. You got to stop saying the R word.
Yeah.
And she doesn't open her mouth that wide. So, you know, she barely eats.
It's
so
true.
A mini waffle is probably the perfect meal for this person.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If she connects the trauma of that conversation with a mini waffle, she'll never eat a waffle again or eat in front of
in
you
public,
again. But
Ron.
Do we care?
No. Waffles
no.
aren't like
These
a regular thing.
These people that don't
thing.
Eat in front of other people, that is madness to me.
Yeah.
But I would also encourage the woman who works with the children to maybe explore if it's a larger issue with your sister-in-law. Although you might already know that or not.
Some people would argue she already got a gift by having two questions answered by us on the podcast.
That was my initial thought.
Let's give it to $500.
Well,
I'm back on the $500.
Are we swinging it?
What was the first question? What was the first question? They might win by default.
My mom supporting me, but
we
I hate
dental losses. Swords. No, yeah. Okay.
No, dental swords doesn't get
dental
waffles.
Dental dam isn't winning. Here's who's winning. Dental's, okay.
Here's who's woo.
$500 is getting the waffle maker.
Great.
Yes.
Because he makes $35,000 a year.
Exactly.
And the $500 means something to him, which we completely understand. By the way, $35,000 in the land of 10,000 lakes is nothing to sniff at.
Exactly.
But obviously, there isn't a huge budget for all kinds of
mini
extras.
Waffle makers.
Accoutrement. Yeah.
And I also think.
Can you imagine how low it is on his list right now? It'd be so nice to push it up a little bit.
You should sit down with your new wonderful lover and you should make a gorgeous
on him.
Waffle.
Sit on him. Yeah.
And you should each have a waffle and you should toast your beautiful life together going
and
forward.
Freedom.
And you should have like a little sage burning ceremony and let go of the idea of this $500 together.
Yep. Great.
Great advice.
We'll send some coffee to the person who donated a whole life to helping people that need her. And, you know.
All right.
I mean,
the banana boys.
Boy, that was a real roller coaster.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Y'all come out every week with new episodes. They're so
funny.
What
day do they drop? And what's the banana? What's the banana hotline and the banana Instagram if people want to send you ideas?
It's the Bananas Podcast on Instagram. They come out every Tuesday. And the banana phone, if you want to call, Scotty will pick up and talk to you for exactly 1 minute. That number is?
Do you know this, Brian?
213-214-7974. The banana phone. I'll talk to any human being that wants to call me for a full minute. You can talk about anything. You can sing me a song. You can tell me a joke. You can breathe heavily, whatever you want to do.
Have you ever enjoyed any of these conversations, Scotty?
Everyone, I get about 25 to 30 a day at this point, and I respond to probably 100 text messages a day at this point, too.
Wow.
So it's gotten to the point where it's off now, but when I turn it back on, it'll ring within 5 minutes.
And it's not an actual banana-shaped phone?
Oh, we do. Yeah, it is.
We're going to get Brian one of these, because I know this is what Brian wants, is strangers texting and calling him.
See? It is a banana-shaped phone.
Actually so cute.
How does it get texts?
Thank you. Well, I have. It's connected.
Like an attachment.
It's connected to a normal human phone that Mint Mobile sent us. Yeah, it's a Bluetooth. Yeah. Yes, it's not
it's a Bluetooth banana.
I just lounge in my Sun Lounger out back and just answer this all day long.
I just got a rotary.
Strangers from around the world.
Whoa, you
Hello?
Got a rotary phone.
I got a rotary.
Oh, that's cool.
Is it connected to anything?
No, so it's kind of useless, but it's fun.
Oh, it's heavy, right? Yak, yak, yak. Don't talk back.
Did you all hear the zip code conversation? Yes.
No.
There was an article about zip codes, and the reason that big cities have low zip codes is because of the rotary. So 212 is easier to do than like 915 or something.
Oh,
that makes sense.
So
I like that.
They were trying to give the more populated areas an easier time because they had to call more
212, people. 213, exactly.
Huh.
312.
202.
Fabulous. Well, listen, I hate to tell you, this was a blast.
That was really
I'm a little upset because I hate it when we have people on that when their podcast comes out on Tuesday and ours comes out on Tuesday. So I always feel a little bit competitive about it. And
well,
then
we
I
don't
remember
even have to
we live in a world where it doesn't matter what day your podcast comes out.
You
so
don't notice. It just shows up on your phone.
To
That's true. It doesn't
yes,
even matter.
That'd be great.
Yeah. But
that'd be great.
Subscribe to Bananas Pod, the Bananas Podcast.
The Banana Boys.
Who did your cute drawing for you, your cartoon?
Travis Millard, an artist named Travis Millard. Some people know him as Fudge Factory. He's a very, very great artist.
Yeah, it's
and
so
he
cute.
Is
I love
a
it.
Good buddy of ours. Thank you.
Yeah,
Travis,
terrific.
That's for you.
Okay, listen, we love you. We do something here, and you're welcome to leave if you want to. What we do is we read our cliffhanger, and we have a cliffhanger question.
Oh, we're
and
staying.
Then we answer it on Patreon. So we just read it Ooh. Briefly, and then if people want to come visit us on Patreon, they get the answer there. Ooh. And what do you put? Did we say your personal Instagrams?
You just Google Kurt Comedy, and I'll pop up. My last name's too difficult.
Kurt Comedy. And Scotty, are you on either on any of the socials?
I'm on Instagram, yes, and it's Mudflap Scotty, and with a Y, Scotty with a Y.
Terrific.
I would love to have a follower. One big follower would be amazing.
Oh. We're gonna do it.
All right, Brian, dear, you want to read this fabulous cliffhanger?
Sure. Okay.
It sounded like maybe you didn't want to read it.
No, I do. I just didn't have it up, but now I have it up.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I'll give you $500 to read that question.
I was worried I was worried I upset you.
No,
asking.
Not at all. I just had to find it.
Okay.
Dearest Ronna, Brian, and extra special guests.
Woo!
Yes. Ever so grateful for the cackles and sense of camaraderie I get from both this podcast as well as Attitudes. When you had a letter during episode 66 with Megan Rath regarding protecting one's children from the preachings of wacky elder relatives,
yes.
I found your advice relevant and helpful. I would like to submit a brief follow-up question. My mother-in-law is a Christian in what I consider the most tacky and annoying way. Doesn't claim a specific denomination, just has a persistent, nauseating, born-again, Bible-thumping style.
Right.
You know, her sofa has lace-trimmed throw pillows with gaudy crosses sewn on. She'd likely fall prey to televangelists, and she tells my husband I shouldn't keep my tarot cards in our house because they're evil.
Well, they're cursed. Why are we inviting the Doc Ots into her house? Let's ask ourselves that question.
My worldview includes a skepticism of institutional religion, and I'm particularly critical of those who subscribe to Christianity.
But a love of harnessing the other powers of the universe.
The dark world, the underbelly.
Yes.
Right. That makes a lot
Smudge
more
it up.
Sense.
Yes.
Than the,
Smudge it up.
Than the crazy ghost that was resurrected on Easter. It makes a lot more sense than tarot cards. But anyway, go on.
Yep.
I have a one-year-old daughter. And already she's been reading Christian children's books to her in my absence and gifting her stuffed animals that recite the Lord's Prayer.
Ooh, where do we get them?
That is.
And how fun are those?
I know.
Yeah. Do they have those at Vermont Country Store, Brian, or have you stopped shopping?
I haven't seen them at Vermont Country Store that they did recently. You know what? It's not interesting. Don't worry about it.
That's fine.
Out of politeness, I have done my best. I've done my best to conceal my horror. And as my daughter grows up, I anticipate more of these Christian forward maneuvers. I want to raise my daughter to understand that different people believe different things and to be informed and tolerant of belief systems and to choose her own independently. That being said, is it worth insulting my mother-in-law by expressing my disapproval of her introducing Christian ideas to her at such a young age? Should I refrain and simply explain to my daughter that grandma and a whole a lot of other deluded people on Earth believe in all this God and Jesus shit, but that it's not necessarily true.
Judgy, well, I wouldn't say judgy.
That. Or should I bring it up to my mother-in-law?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's a kind woman, but honestly, there's no reasoning with her on this topic. So did I answer my own question there? Do religious beliefs fall under the category of allow grandma to say her crazy shit and talk to your child about it later? Or could it be considered unacceptable and warranting an on-the-spot call-out akin to racist remarks?
Excuse me.
That's, yeah. Any advice would not only be a saving grace. Well, look who's using this lingo now. But a true delight.
Ooh.
Thanks so much. Kiss, kiss. Kate and baby Kayleen.
I'll be honest with you. This isn't much of a follow-up. It's pretty close to the question that we already answered. But we're going to answer it anyway on Patreon. I think it's true. There's more of a nuance to this because this is about religion. It's not about about racism and anti-Semitism, et cetera, like we with yeah, like the other Megan Rath question.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So you want to hear the answer to that? Join us on Patreon. Every Friday we post a bonus episode. And if you want to see us live, not live, I was going to say it's not live. It is.
They don't
just
know that.
Well, yes, Brian and I put on a puppet show. If you want to see the show, we do a Punch and Judy show every Friday.
It's Christian.
Yes, Davy and Goliath, and it stars, Davy and Goliath.
I've been telling Rana I'm out unless we only tell New Testament stories.
And I don't know anything about the New Testament, course, because I'm Jewish. I always said we already had a book. What's this one? Same story again, different characters. I already read this.
Boring.
But in any event, you can sign up for sauna privileges to get the video. Of course, I don't know, did you two get your coffee or not yet? The Ask Rana coffee? Okay. So,
I don't think so.
It's en route. The post, you know, the postal service.
COVID, blah, blah. But in any event, askronacoffee.com. You can subscribe.
Thank you.
Every bag of coffee, if you subscribe, is $3 off a bag, always free shipping.
Sure.
You decide how often it comes, cancel anytime. And that's the scoop. So thank you two for being here with us today.
Thank you.
We love the banana, boys, as we like to call you.
Thank you.
And we'll see you in the carriage house.
Bye.
Bye.